You have a rundown? You got a copy of the rundown?
Yeah. Yes, I do. Nowadays, I'll just sit at my desk and I'll just suddenly just be like,
and what are the people that work in the office think of that?
Well, Jess, she would be at attention. She would be like, oh, yes, Nana.
She knows something's up.
What's going on? But no, most people just ignore me. I think it's, I mean, it comes with the territory.
Yeah. You're used to Nana by now.
Right.
You need to, you
They're
need
like,
to
there's
get
Nana
used to
making
it.
The gorilla noises.
Just making
again.
Gorilla noises over there.
Everything that is running smooth.
That means she's hard at work.
Right. Right.
We're all just monkeys banging keyboards.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting bits in the world of sports, entertainment, on news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right, and I'm sure that will be doubly so coming up later on in the show because... regular Melissa Nena is going to join us at the entertainment entree. So and of course the non-Portugal key odd news. So you never know what we're going to get from her. And
that's when things really go off the rails.
That's right. So yeah, prepare for a crazy episode this week. And yeah, we do have a lot of things to get to in the second half of the show. But before we delve into that and the sports sampler and everything like that, we'd like to do a little intro. To personally reset the stage, let you know what we're doing outside of the show. So, Mike, how you doing? What's up in the world of Costanzo Country?
I'm good. Costanzo Country's been pretty quiet recently. I've undertaken a few cleaning and redecorating and reorganizing projects, and so that's been occupying a lot of my time. I went to Michael's, the arts and
not your own store.
No, not my own store. No, it'd be great if I owned it, because that place it always has a lot of people in there. Like, I never really go in there.
Yeah, I never go
but
in there.
But I went in there recently because they had a shale. Shale.
A shale?
I can't even talk.
Oh, yes, they had a shale.
They had a shale. Had a shale on picture frames and shadow boxes.
Yes.
No, they had a great...
I want to hang something up.
Yeah, I want to hang something up. Can you recommend some
shackles?
Some shackles. But I don't know what I'm creating. But no, they had a big sale on picture frames and shadow boxes and a whole bunch of other stuff that I needed to get some of my memorabilia put up on the walls nice and neat rather than just, you know, thumbtacks and wacky tacky stuff. You know, like all the Eagles Super Bowl stuff I've had lying around or just thrown up there willy nilly. But, you know, I did like an actual like shadow box display all nice and neat. And that store is like it's like a labyrinth. Like, I don't know why I had such a hard time finding anything. I'm like, I just want to hang up a picture. Where do I find, like, picture hanging up stuff? And I'm like, no, this is for making candles. Why is there a whole aisle devoted to making candles?
Oh, my God!
And they had, like, an aisle with T-shirts, like, plain, like solid-colored T-shirts. And I was like, should I buy T-shirts? Do I need T-shirts? I'm like, how long is a $4 T-shirt going to last? But it just felt like opening Pandora's box. Like, you go in there, and it's just, like... stuff you never knew existed. Stuff you never knew.
Oh my God, how is this working?
It was really...
Where do I go?
Rich, I was in there for like multiple hours. Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
What is this land of T-shirts?
Maybe it's just like a guy thing, but I was like totally overwhelmed being in there. I couldn't find anything. I was totally confused the entire time.
Did I go down aisle 6 or 9? Tell me!
You know, you go to Michael's when there's a sale on, and you try and figure it out, all right? It's a harrowing...
Flank the corner! Flank the corner!
Exactly.
Charge down the aisle! No!
But I made it
Get
out
the
alive.
Glue!
I didn't need glue. But I made it out alive. All was good. So that's what I've been doing.
Okay.
I've been decorating.
So we don't need the dramatic music anymore.
No, no. It wasn't that dramatic. It was pretty dramatic, but it wasn't that dramatic. Yeah.
That was a close call.
So, yeah, I know. Kind of bland, but that's what I've been up to. And also, I figured I'd mention this, too. It's officially been, I don't know if you realize this, officially been 6 years that we've been doing the podcast this week.
Mamma mia! Yeah.
What does this guy think? He's an Indian?
Like, fresh eyes?
She's human!
Yes!
Wow. 6 years.
I know, right?
That's crazy. And, you know, yeah, I remember when we first started, we were, like, doing the show in the, like, morning. Because we were just out of college. So we didn't have full-time jobs yet.
Yeah. Oh, those were the simple days, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, we've definitely come a long way. We've done, like, thousands of hours of content.
Yeah.
You know, does that make us experts yet?
Are we officially
experts?
There?
I don't know.
But, yeah, you could listen to a whole slew of episodes now.
Yeah.
You probably have enough. You could do, like, a radio station based on all of our podcasts.
Just replay them back-to-back, nonstop.
Yeah.
You'd have hundreds and hundreds of hours.
Yeah, especially the odd news.
Oh, my gosh.
All the odd news is still good.
Oh, yeah. That never ages.
No.
The other segments, they're more, like, time-restricted, you know?
Right.
If you go back to some of the stories we were talking about back then, they're probably laughably outdated.
It was the
outdated.
Chip Kelly era.
Oh, my gosh, I know. You can hear us ranting and raving, and Doug Peterson's first year is like, oh, I don't know. Is Doug Peterson going to be good? He really doesn't seem like he has a... Oh, wait, whoops, he won the Super Bowl.
Whoops.
You know, that's... That's the type of stuff you can dive back into and listen and just laugh at how dumb we were back then. Not that we're any smarter now.
Yeah, we're slightly smarter.
Just slightly. Every episode we gain like 0.01% intelligence.
It's still an increase.
That's right. You got to work on those gains. But anyway, so yeah, props to us on 6 years.
Yeah.
Been a crazy journey. I know, looking back, it's like, oh my God, it's crazy.
Yeah,
we've been at it for like forever now.
Yeah.
But, hey, good times keep on rolling.
That's right. Good times noodle salad.
That's right. Exactly. But anyway, Rich, what were your good times noodle salad over the weekend, the past week?
I was just out with friends and everything. Victory Brewing Company had a new beer that came out.
Oh.
It was pretty good. It's a new Belgian one that they do off of their Monkey line.
You like the Belgians, don't you?
Yes, I do. And so this one was right up my alley because they have like Golden Monkey, Sour Monkey.
Yeah.
Now they have this Belgian one in the same spirit, and man, it was pretty good. It's like infused with like mango and stuff.
Ooh,
yeah,
interesting.
Only one.
And what is it called? Belgian Monkey?
Something. I just realized I forgot the name.
Come on, man.
Yeah. I drank a whole lot of it,
okay.
So I was kind of, whoa.
All the names started to blur together.
Right. The thing you got to watch out for is that those monkey lines are really high in alcohol.
Isn't it like 10% or something like that?
Yeah.
Something like really high.
Right. So those are one of those when you have one or two of those beers, you have to stop or else you're going to have that effect when you get up. You're like, whoa. I don't know if I can stand.
Sounds like you're speaking from experience, Rich.
Slightly.
That's all right.
Yes.
Like you said, good times noodle salad.
That's right. And, you know, that's one of those things that's local. So it's always fun to head up to Victory Brewing Company. They're out in Downingtown. So, it's always good to check it out, what they have up there. And, that was like my night out. Kind of thing.
Okay.
A Twisted Monkey. That's
Twisted
what it is.
Twisted Monkey.
Twisted Monkey. That's the new one.
Okay.
So go check that out and let me know what you think of it. And then on the Netflix front, I've did the I finally did the interactive experience Bender Snatch.
You did that?
Yeah.
That was cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
How many endings did you get?
I had to find out all of them.
So you went through it a whole bunch of...
Yeah, and I didn't think it was that long, to be honest with you.
No, it was, and it wasn't long, and I liked the way that they did it so that you didn't have to rewatch the entire movie
right.
to make like different choices.
Yeah, they have a nice feature where they just snip up the recap.
Right.
You know, so you don't have to rewatch the entire movie over again to get to the part that you need to get to switch the ending.
I would really like Netflix to continue doing stuff like that. I thought it was really unique, and I thought it was a lot of fun just to, like, you know, play through it and see what the differences were.
Yeah.
Did you get, like, the really meta ending?
Yes.
The one where he's, like, I forget what it was. He's, like, looking out the window and, like... They, like, pulled back and it was, like, all, like, the production and everything.
Yes.
That was cool.
Yes. So, let's leave it at that because I don't know if people...
I shouldn't get too spoilery.
Yeah. Because I highly recommend go try it out. I enjoyed every minute of it.
Absolutely. Definitely go check it out.
Yeah. All right. Now it's time to get to the first part of the show where we have some sports topics. Time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Sports coming at you in your face in this first part of the show. And we're going to hit a quick topic in 2 minutes or less. Time for the 2-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right. The clock is armed and go. What do you have?
All right. This week in the 2-minute drill, we have some football news. The offseason is certainly getting off to an exciting start after last week's news about big-name players making big moves. Teams continue to wheel and deal. This time, the Baltimore Ravens dealt longtime franchise quarterback Joe Flacco to the Denver Broncos. While the trade will not become official until March 13th and the teams cannot comment on the trade until then, many sources believe that the Broncos will give up a mid-round pick in exchange for Joe Flacco. This news is big for both Baltimore and Denver, but it also has ripple effects for our very own Philadelphia Eagles because many teams are already committed to long-term quarterbacks or have quarterbacks on rookie deals or have recently dealt for a quarterback. The Eagles now suddenly find themselves in a tough situation with Super Bowl MVP quarterback Nick Foles. As the quarterback market quickly dries up and the Eagles have to decide if they will be able to find a trade partner if they attempt the tag-and-trade method for Nick Foles. And if they do find a potential trade partner, what will they be willing to take for a Super Bowl-winning quarterback? Rich, how does this Joe Flacco trade impact what the Eagles can do with Nick Foles?
Oh, well, I mean, that takes out a potential suitor with the Broncos. But I don't think it completely shuts them out because I think Jacksonville is going to be the prime spot for Nick Foles to go to.
Yeah, they really haven't found a solution yet down there, so... Here's hoping they make a bad decision and toss us a second rounder.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see what they offer. Personally, though, I don't get why Denver made this move. Because you already have Casey Keenum.
You have Case Keenum, and don't they have a few young quarterbacks they were trying to work on?
They were trying. They didn't work out.
Yeah.
But Casey Keenum and Joe Flacco are kind of on the same pedigree.
Right. It's not like you're trading for
an upgrade.
Right, exactly. You're moving laterally. It's a lateral promotion kind of thing.
So I'm not sure what the Broncos are trying to gain from it, but we'll see how it all shakes out.
Ah!
There you go. Right at the end, I had like a sudden cough, but I recovered well just in time for a scream.
There you go. You got to have the scream.
Yes.
It'd be incomplete without it.
Yes. All right. Quickly, we're going to move from football to baseball, which is all weird. Right. Baseball's not even started yet. But the offseason, of course, always provides some interesting either trades or free agent moves. This one is the latter. The San Diego Padres land one of the biggest free agent signings in recent memory by signing Manny Machado. This is crazy. This is an absolute bonkers deal. Kind of very unlike of Padres for them being kind of a small market town compared to the other baseball teams. Like you would think somebody like the Yankees would get him or the Phillies were in talks were in talks of trying to land him.
Yeah, San Diego's like a mid-market, you know, mid-sized market, and the numbers on this deal are just staggering. 10 years, $300 million breaks down to $30 million a year. It automatically makes it the second largest contract in MLB history and the largest free agent signing specifically. Not the largest contract, but the largest free agent signing.
Yeah.
This is wild, this type of money they're throwing around.
Yes, it is.
Will it have an actual any actual impact, though?
Well, it will on the actual Padres, because their chances to win the World Series just jumped from 80 to 1 to 50 to 1, according to Vegas. So that's an improvement.
There's still long shots, though.
A little bit, but they're in a weak division, so they'll at least make the playoffs.
This is like a type of move where it's like, all right, we have this big focal piece player. Now we have to slowly build around him.
Right.
You know, our fans, is Manny Machado going to be that patient to wait for this pan out?
He's going
to
have to be, because he only has an opt out thing that an opt out clause that he can use after the fifth year. Okay. So he's definitely there for 4 years.
So he's locked in for at least the midterm.
Right.
Okay.
Right. But after the fifth year, then he can jump out if he wants.
That's fair. Usually they say, you know, five-year plan. Yeah. You know, to build a team.
Right. Which, by the way, on that note, I want to mention just, you know, it's funny. I feel like after all this time we talk about football and the NFL contracts and how wonky they are sometimes, and NBA right. contracts, how wonky they are with a soft salary cap. Baseball is just like the complete Wild West. It's just like the player gets the advantages, you know, if they're an all-star. There's no salary cap. Isn't it just like weird? Like, it's just like yeah. we go from like, you know, everything's so strict and regimented in football, and then we talk about basketball, how there's all these celebrity superstars,
right?
And how they like control
big
like,
three, big four,
right?
Yeah.
Solely control like the guidance of that team, right. And then you get the baseball, and it's just like, wow, all right,
do
player,
whatever, yeah, do whatever you want.
$300 million, here you go. Oh, you want to leave after 5 years, even though the contract's 10 years? Oh, all right,
yeah. And I see you have written down here, there's a no trade clause. I mean.
Yeah, yeah, he has a no trade clause as well.
Yeah, so I mean that's all very like
unless he approves it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But that's all very like player forward thinking.
Right,
you
right.
know?
Like that doesn't happen in football.
No, uh-uh. Not at all. Football is that's why you never hear like I'm looking at this, you know, Manny Machado story. I'm trying to find like guaranteed money because I'm coming from football and you always look for the guaranteed money. And in baseball, it's not an issue because the player controls so much of the scope of the deal. But in football, it's like, no, you're signed for this deal, and this is how much money you're guaranteed, and the rest of it, you're just going to have to kiss goodbye if you break a knee or something, you know?
Yeah.
It's just two completely different schools of thought. Now, this is always the interesting thing, is which school of thought is better? Is it better for baseball where you can just buy as many top-tier players as you want and create an actual dream team, or is it better, you know, in football where you have to strategize and really make the most of what you have? And I mean, spoiler alert, I'm gonna go with football here.
Yeah.
Because not only all right, so here's the thing. Would I like them to be more player forward? Absolutely. But I don't want them to just get rid of the cap and say spend as much as you want, because when that happens, you have the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
You have 27 World
Series. And the Red Sox now.
And the Red Sox, yeah. You know, what they win, like three of the last however many it is?
Yeah, so yeah. The last 10 years they've won yeah. three World Series.
Yeah. Although I say that, and we have the Patriots in football, so, I mean, maybe it's not exactly as good as I make it seem, but I feel like it's better. Eagles can win a Super Bowl.
There's more parity in yeah. football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can go Patriots, Eagles, Patriots. You don't really see that. I mean, I don't know. Do you see that in baseball?
Yeah, baseball, it's really tough for one of the lower-level teams to contend with the Yankees or a Red Sox or anything like that. Like, when's the last time when's the last time the Oakland Athletics, like, done anything, you know, since Moneyball, you know?
Yeah, since Moneyball.
Yeah, that's literally, like, the last thing that they ever did.
Do you mean the actual event, or do you mean the movie?
Both.
Both.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's stuff like that. It's like, those smaller market teams never seem to really have a fair shot
yeah.
against the bigger market teams.
Yeah.
And it's just because of pure money. They can afford the big time contracts, which is why this Padres deal really kind of comes out of left field, because all of a sudden the San Diego Padres, you know, they've been spending a lot of money in free agency between this year and last year. Well, so
they want to win.
You know, are they trying to become like the West Coast equivalent of the Yankees and the Red Sox? I mean, good luck.
I don't think they have that much money.
Yeah.
I mean, San Diego, they lost their football team because the city couldn't afford enough. You know, it just doesn't strike me as a large enough market to pay the types of salaries that these big star players are going to command. This is like their centerpiece. Now they're going to build around this with a bunch of like mid-tier talent or, you know, upper mid-tier talent. But I don't know. Am I totally off base in thinking like that? Like the San Diego franchises in general don't strike me as being big spenders.
No, not when you have to compete against the, you know, the Yankees and the Red Sox,
right.
And
when you're going up, when
like
you're
the
going
Dodgers,
up against
Dodgers,
yeah, exactly. When you're going up against teams in LA and New York and Philly, you know, and Boston, these huge markets, you know, but
somehow
we'll
they pulled this one off against these teams.
I guess it doesn't really matter. I guess it comes down to the ownership and how much they're willing to pay out.
Right. So let's bring it back home, though, because this is kind of big news here in Philly, because general manager Matt Klentak has repeatedly said that they wanted to be aggressive this offseason. And so far, we have had absolutely no peeps heard from the front office.
Well, that's not good.
And the Phillies were in talks with Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. And now one of them's off the table because Machado's going to the Padres. So, unfortunately, this cranks up the heat on the Phillies general manager, Matt Klentak. This has to, he's got to sign Bryce Harper. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, in my opinion. If we don't get Harper, this offseason's been a huge disappointment
for
this team.
That is a possible outcome, though.
Yeah, I mean,
you make it sound like they have to sign him. They could very well not sign him, and it could just be, you know, status quo, par for the course here in Philadelphia. Big letdown.
Yeah, but for the Phillies themselves, I mean, they're gonna sink down in the rankings because the Sixers grew some balls and made all these trade acquisitions.
Well,
they've jumped up,
and
the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
This is the thing that ticks me off about baseball is that when there is no cap and your team refuses to spend money, you know, that's the flip side of it, is like, especially the Phillies, like they could have thrown him a $300 million contract. There's no reason they couldn't have afforded that. The Phillies, they're huge.
Yes, but they're trying to go at, the problem is they were splitting their resources between Machado and Harper.
They were trying to land both.
Yeah. And when you do that, you're half-assing it.
Yeah.
So
never,
right now,
never half-assed it, always full-assed.
Correct. All right, Ron Swanson. So right now, they need to do whatever it takes to get Harper in. Because if they don't, then this is a huge wasted offseason.
Well, this is going to be tough now because now, you know, Harper's looking at that and he's saying, I want $300 million too.
Right, yeah. That's going to be the problem.
This guy's got a super long-term deal. I want a super long-term
deal. Right.
I want a $300 million deal. I want to be locked in seven-plus years.
I want a $310 million deal.
Well, you know it's gotta beat it.
Yeah.
If I were the Phillies, I'd be like, we're gonna give you like 301. And if I were the player, I'd be like, absolutely. Not even 301. Be like $300 million and $1. You know, just $1 more. Just I don't know. Just I feel like that would be fun. Because all the news reports would have to say that.
Yes.
That technically it was a bigger contract because it was $300 million and $1.
There you go. Take that, Machado. Have fun in San Diego.
Yeah. What's San Diego ever done for anybody except for chase off the Chargers?
Yeah. But no, in all seriousness, Phillies have to land Harper or else
what's the rumor mill say? Are they close to doing it? Are they the favorite to do it?
I
know there's been murmurs, but yeah, we've been hesitant talking about it because there's nothing there.
Right. The problem is I don't want to mention it because...
Right. I'm going to lock you into a response.
Because...
What is the percentage that the Phillies get, Bryce Harper? Give me a number, Rich. No, you don't have to.
50%. I don't know.
50%. That's the easy answer.
But, yeah, the problem is every time there's been like a glimmer of hope that, oh, my God, it's going to get done, it just all of a sudden just goes quiet. We don't hear anything.
Well, we had that story where... Did we have that story?
Yeah, there was a fake hype article that said that the Phillies were going to announce Harper was going to sign, and then nothing happened.
You have to imagine there's something behind all this, though. There has to be a fire where this smoke is.
Well, hopefully it happens sooner than later, because between the Eagles winning the Super Bowl and the Sixers suddenly being bold and trying to go for broke – in the playoffs this year, the Phillies kind of seem like the outsider with the Flyers. Yeah. Like they're not doing anything.
They really have to make some plays.
Yeah. So there you go, Matt Klentak. Get Bryce Harper or else disappointed. That will be Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But with that, we're going to wrap up the sports sampler. Coming up next, Melissa Nena will join us for the entertainment entree. And then the non-fortune cookie odd news. We still have plenty of shows still to come. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle. Always crunchy.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler. But before we officially jump into the entertainment entree, it's time to introduce a recurring guest that we have here on the show. I'm happy whenever she shows up. And oh, yeah, oh, I think I hear her right now. Is that her? Yes, excellent. Folks, Melissa Nena is here to join us here on the show.
Happy late President's Day, everybody.
That's
happy
right.
Late President's Day.
How are you doing?
I'm so excited.
This is your favorite holiday, isn't it?
I celebrated the presidents yesterday, all day.
Okay. So, she's beaming with excitement.
I've never seen somebody this excited over, like, one of the third-tier holidays.
Right?
I have to give just a slight backstory. So, yeah. Me and Nena, we do Quizzo every now and then. And last night at Quizzo, she came up to me and she says, I got this story. And I need to tell you guys on the podcast.
Oh,
and that's it.
God.
And I stopped her right there. I was like, good. Don't say anything else. I want to hear about this, you know, real-time reaction. Both of us. I have no idea what she's about to say. So, Nena, what is this story? What is this post-president story?
Well, first off, I need to say that Ulysses S. Grant is my favorite president.
Okay.
Okay.
And fantastic. I would like to know yours as well.
Okay.
I always found Theodore Roosevelt interesting.
You're so typical.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You're not going to be any happier with mine because I feel
really disappointed now.
I think FDR was probably one of the best.
Okay, all right. But anyway.
Do you want the joke answer, though?
It will give me, because what's the joke answer?
Andrew Jackson has the craziest stories about
him. He has the
him.
Most loony stories
yeah,
associated
like,
with him.
Wasn't he, like, big into slaves and stuff?
He was a bad president.
Right.
You can trace the Great Depression all the way back to him dismantling the National Bank.
So why is he your favorite?
Because
he has weird stories.
His series of circumstances is just wild. Like, didn't he one time have a party that just consisted of cheese and wine, and he had, like, a massive cheese wheel, and he couldn't finish it?
And cherries and cream.
No, that was another guy that killed him. This was cheese and wine. I don't know. Andrew Jackson got into a duel and won, unlike Alexander Hamilton, who just
died. While he was president.
he kicked a whole bunch of Native Americans off their land and, like, didn't care. He's like, just leave.
And then he dismantled
the National Bank. Like, he was just crazy. He did the most absurd and terrible things ever.
He had the first actual assassination attempt.
Yeah.
And the reason why it wasn't successful was the guy's pistol didn't go off. So when it didn't go off, Andrew Jackson charged at him
and beat the crap
out of him
with his cane. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's pretty
cool. He has a lot of weird stories.
Guys,
yeah.
We just got to have a dedicated episode to the president.
We do. Yes. Eventually we're going to have
a
all
dead
about president's, the presidents.
Dead president's right. podcast.
But what is your President's Day story?
So here's my story. Okay.
And it starts off with U.S. Grant.
So U.S. Grant.
I'm a proud lover of Ulysses S. Grant.
Okay.
And so,
how did you like him in Wild Wild West?
So, anyway, I love him and I proclaim my love for him. And so last week, before the weekend, I talked to all the people that I work with and I was like, who's your favorite president? I was asking everybody because I'm like, we're gearing up for the President's Day weekend.
Right.
We got to celebrate the presidents. Who's your favorite president? So we're going around the room and everyone's giving the typical answers and Teddy Roosevelt's and the FDR's and the JFK's because he was hot type thing. And so I get to this one girl and she's what I call a Gen Z-al because there's Gen Z, But basically, instead of millennials, I call them Gen Zeals because it's much easier.
Gen Zeal.
Yeah, Gen Zeal.
So and that's easier than Gen Z.
Yeah, but if you're if it's a noun form,
What exactly does that reference then?
Gen Z.
So instead of millennial, it's a what was it?
Millennial is Gen Y, I think, and then Gen Z is under us.
Yeah, they don't have a catchy name.
So I just made up Gen Zeal. Yeah.
We're millennials. We have the cool name.
Right.
They just have Gen Z.
Right. We have the avocado toast.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Ruining the country with our avocado toast.
You know, and the cold brews and stuff like that. But anyway, so she's a Gen Zeal. So I get to her and she looks at me and she's like, loud and proud, Harriet Tubman.
Ooh, wait, what? That's her favorite president?
Uh-oh.
And I was like, I'm pretty sure in her time it was the opposite of president was what she was.
the exact
pretty
opposite.
Sure she was running for her life, literally underground.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's not the correct answer.
So the entire room was just like in awe. And then she was like, wait, no, I met the guy who died in a tub. And I'm like, you mean Taft? Also, not a black woman who helped with the Underground Railroad? Like, still
also,
not of the...
I don't think he even died in a tub.
No, he got stuck in the tub, but he didn't die in the tub.
Oh, he didn't die in the... Oh, this is why we gotta have that podcast, guys. I'm not educated enough on the Taft.
She's way off base.
Yeah.
Does she need to come on the Dead Presidents podcast?
I think so. We need to educate her. And I told her, I said, listen, like, it's at least a year before I let this die. Like, you're not... There's no coming back.
She's the Harriet Tubman lady.
So then, like, throughout the rest of the day, there were, like, easy layup jokes where, you know, I would ask someone, like, oh, what's your favorite president? I'd be like, well, Linda's is Harriet Tubman.
There you go. Yeah.
And people just look at me, and I'm like, I didn't come up with it.
No. The bar has been set.
But the most amazing part, though, is that she confused Harriet Tubman with Taft. Like, I can't imagine two more opposites. Skinny African American runaway slave and portly rich white gentleman.
Correct. The irony is not lost on me.
Yeah.
And it's lovely. And she also confused Harriet Tubman with a tub.
Yeah, just the sheer fact.
Just because that's her name.
I get the logic now. Tubman.
Oh, yeah,
man,
that's exactly what it was.
Oh.
But it's still like.
She,
what?
So wait, she thought Taft's last name was Tubman.
I don't know what she thought.
Because he got stuck in the tub.
Or maybe she thought
that was his nickname.
I think she was trying so hard to like have a cool answer.
Right.
And it just, I mean.
Right. She's like.
It was in a different way.
Cool. When you asked her, right, this is the thought process. She's like, oh gosh, what should I say? Should I go with
while
a safe
we were,
answer?
She told me while we were going around the room, she was thinking, she was like, who's the guy that died in the tub? And then just Harriet
Tubman. But nobody ever died in a tub.
Well,
maybe she said stuck in.
All I know
if
is
your
like.
Your thought is, who's the guy? Why Harriet? Harriet's clearly not even a guy.
But also.
You could have said like Harry Tubman. Like that. Like,
oh,
okay.
Yeah, good old Harry
also,
Tubman.
Also, like, we just had an African American president.
Yeah.
Let alone a woman African-American president. And, like, you're going back.
We had a woman African-American president?
No, I'm saying let alone.
We just reached
African-American male president.
Right. So, yeah, it's going to be another, like, 50 years before we get an African-American female president.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, you're just in a weird time warp.
Right. See, in her mind, the world split off into two separate universes in the 1840s. One in which Harriet Tubman became president. Was like,
yeah,
revolutionized social reform and was like, oh my God, it's like a utopia. And now.
Yeah.
There's the two timelines.
So it was pretty good because now I have ammo to make fun of her for the rest of her life.
Just there call you go, her Harriet. Until she
whatever
quits,
her name is now Harriet.
Well, I can drop like a few a day. I said at least a week for a few a day, and then maybe I'll taper off to like one every couple days.
That's when it gets really good because eventually when you get close to the 1 year mark, it'll be like every few weeks and you'll just be like, okay, Tubman. And everyone will be like, oh my God, remember that time?
Well, one of the guys that I work with already put on the calendar a Harriet Tubman appreciation party.
Oh, nice.
Like the 1 year anniversary of Harriet Tubman's great presidency.
Yes. That's perfect.
Historic day. That all of America will celebrate.
So that's it. It's not a major story, but,
no,
it's,
but it's,
no,
still
it's
great.
Pretty fucking ridiculous.
It is.
Yeah,
it is
I never
great.
Heard anything like that.
That is wild.
literally.
We haven't even had a woman president yet.
Yeah.
Correct. So, like, what? How is that's not even a slip of the tongue. Yeah. Like, that's just you going in a completely different direction.
Right. I don't make too much fun of the poor girl because I don't know her.
No,
but
you
at
can.
The same
that's,
time,
what we're, that's what we're doing.
Okay.
And she
at the same
knew.
Time, it's
she
ridiculous.
Knew. She goes, as soon as I said it, I knew. And I'm like, and also my face.
But
apparently
you said she
was
had
like,
time to think.
She did.
So like, it's what? Because I know exactly what happened.
She got
panicked
too caught up. She was
because
panicked.
She didn't want to give the stock answer of George Washington
she
or Abraham Lincoln. She wanted to give like
answer.
A yeah. funny, like deep cut answer, you know, like Zachary Taylor. Like, oh, who's that? Instead, yeah. she missed
Rutherford B. Hayes.
Yeah, exactly.
What the hell did he do? Nobody right. knows.
But what a great name.
How yeah. about Millard Fillmore?
Yeah, that's another one everyone forgets.
Yeah, he's great. McKinley, William.
Yeah, he got shot.
He got William. Shot. He got shot, and yeah. then Teddy Roosevelt took over.
Right.
Didn't Garfield get shot, too?
The person who... Yes.
Twice,
so.
I think.
There was one
no,
president...
No, wait, there was one president who was president twice.
Yes, and yeah. I think it was Garfield. Either Garfield or Arthur. Chester A. Arthur.
I think it was
can't remember.
Garfield.
I think it was Garfield.
Guys,
yeah.
I'm so excited for the president.
Yeah, well,
you
we'll
know which
get
president
to that on the
I like is James Buchanan because he was the last president before the Civil War and he did nothing. He just sat there and was like, well, I don't know. You guys are just.
He was the one that wasn't married either, right?
I think so. Yeah. He was all sorts
his
of weird.
His daughter
was
the first lady, which is kind of weird when you think about it.
He was
it.
A spinster man.
I'm pretty sure he was the only president from Pennsylvania, too.
Yeah, that's correct.
So, yes, I knew that.
Yeah. So good old
take that world. We know ours.
We really do have to have a dead president's podcast.
Yes. We'll get around to that. Don't worry.
He did serve in the Pennsylvania militia, though.
Okay. Very
so that's something.
That's so honorable.
He served in the militia and then he basically let the Civil War happen.
Good job.
And then guess who won it? My man. My stud.
Ulysses S. Grant.
Yep.
So wait, we said why aww, we like our presidents, but why do you like U.S. Grant?
A, he was a stud.
Is that really your answer?
B, he didn't like slavery before not liking slavery was cool.
He was like the anti-slavery
like,
hipster.
He was anti-slavery before Lincoln was even in office.
Right.
And he won the war.
Those are good points.
He was like, yeah, bitch. And then my other friend who I work with was like, I sent out a picture, or I posted a picture of him because he's my favorite president. And she goes, is that Robert E. Lee? And I was like, oh my God.
No.
I was
dare
like,
you
in
confuse
fact, again, the opposite,
the exact
of the exact opposite.
Yeah.
So.
There you go. Fair enough.
That is awesome.
That's it. That's my
there you
man.
Go. Harriet Tubman, the first female African-American president.
Back in the
wow.
1800s.
Rewriting history one right. step at a time. Here we go. But there you go. I'm glad you shared us that story. It was definitely worth the wait. I'm glad you didn't spoil it last night at Quizzo.
Good.
But now let's officially kick off the second part of our show. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock, especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
We're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
That's the classic Hitler clip, but why?
Yeah, from the movie Der Untertag, or
sure.
The Downfall, The
right.
Bunker.
It's a famous internet meme.
Right, it's now a famous internet meme where they always put, like, Hitler reacts to something.
Right.
The reason why I play that, though, is for sad news. The actor that played Hitler, Bruno Ganson, gave us this historic meme, unfortunately passed away over the weekend. So a lot of people online have been posting tributes. to the actor.
Wow.
Not to Hitler. Don't worry.
Yeah, but you know what? 100 years from now, 100 years from now, they're going to be like, 2019 was really weird. Yeah, it was really weird. They had some funny ideas going around America, and they're posting tributes to what appears to be Adolf Hitler. You know, it's just
but
yeah.
It's not. But it really isn't, because they're making him react to like stupid
stuff.
But
I'm saying in 100 years from now.
Yeah. What, you don't think they'll realize it?
No.
No. Okay.
Rich, we have people saying Harriet Tubman was a was a president. Jesus Christ, what do you think is going to happen?
Good callback.
Okay. Well, I like these memes. I think they're funny.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
I think it's hilarious to imagine Hitler in a bunker worried about like Lady Gaga or whatever.
Oh, I do too. It's hilarious. Know. I just worry for future generations.
Right.
That I think Titanic needs a sequel, and that thinks Harriet Tubman is the president. And
you know what it is? They're gonna show that in like AP US history class, and you're like, oh, Hitler did not
this
like
is the
Lady Gaga,
right? Exactly.
And he was very adamant about the demonstrations of Lady Gaga, and didn't like the meat suit, and very, very interesting. And it'll be written in the history textbooks.
That's right. That's right. For
Hitler
all future generations.
He time traveled from 1950.
He's still alive in Brazil.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he never died.
You're right.
He's like the Tupac of World War II.
Yes.
He is. In some circles, there are people that believe that he's still alive in Brazil.
There you go. So if Tupac wants to know where it all came from, it came from Hitler. There you go. Staying alive. All right, that's what I got.
Anyway, there you go.
I just wanted to point out the actor passed away.
He was in
a couple of other movies, too. He was in The Reader.
I got to say that you got to give props to somebody that's willing to take on a role like that, because you know it's going to catch a lot of flack.
Actors are actors.
Yeah, you got to do what
you
can
do. Mean, don't you think that he would be worried about, like, you know, all the controversy and flack you would get for portraying a person like that? But he did it, and he did it, from what I understand, really well.
Yeah, the movie itself is actually
really
good.
A big break. What if he hoped it was like,
well,
he'd be an A-list actor?
After portraying Adolf Hitler,
yeah.
I mean, for actors, you just take the role. I mean, you just need work.
There has to be part of him, though, that's like, that was a tough decision. You don't think so?
I mean, he died over it, so.
He died it literally killed him. It's the role that killed him.
No.
Natural causes?
What, you want me to see what is his...
I mean, you don't know. We don't have to go down that road.
I don't know. But anyway, the point is he was a good actor. And the internet world is mourning his loss. And hey, he gave us a popular meme. So
One of the best memes out there, I think.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's funny.
I think it's hilarious. Every time you see like a big like pop culture thing, they always post one of those.
Yeah.
Well, what about the guy that died who created the Ryan Gosling won't eat his cereal?
I never really got into that whole meme thing.
Oh my God, it's so good. It's basically just scenes of Ryan Gosling moving away from some guy trying to feed him cereal.
How did that even originate? Is it a scene from a movie or something?
No, I don't know. Like, the guy who created it, I guess, had cancer and then ended up dying. And so Ryan Gosling then on Twitter made a video of him finally eating the cereal.
That's a good full circle type thing.
Yes, it was very good.
It's good to see Ryan Gosling.
We'll watch it during the break.
We'll
watch Ryan Gosling eat cereal during the break.
Or no, not eat cereal.
Oh, not eat cereal. And then eat cereal.
And then eat cereal.
Okay.
Yes.
It's a journey.
Yes, just like life.
<That's>
so
right.
There you go. Thank you, Bruno Ganz, for that
portraying
wonderful
Hitler.
Portrayal of Hitler that became a meme. All right, now it's time to get to the portion of the show where Mike lets you know what's coming up this weekend for upcoming movies, TV, and entertainment. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
If you're hot enough, I'll get to know you.
I just love playing that clip.
Sausages!
Well, it's either sausages or
I'd
you.
Rather hear. If you're hot enough, I'll get to know you.
Today, Junior.
So there you go. Mike, what do you have for us?
Well, these movies are hot enough for you to check out in theaters. First up, we have How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, coming to theaters this week. This animated family action movie is the final one in the well-regarded How to Train Your Dragon trilogy. The series envisions a world in which humans and dragons live together peacefully. But when a new threat endangers everything they have built, the human leader Hiccup and his dragon Toothless must travel to the ends of the earth, to the hidden world, to fight this new darkness. The movie has favorable reviews so far, with a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes, with an average rating of 7.2 out of 10. I gotta tell you, I really enjoy this movie series. I'm a big fan of the first movie. The second movie was pretty good. It's just a very good, heartwarming story about this human and this dragon both overcoming their physical limitations to, you know, become bigger than the sum of their parts. Yeah, no, it's good. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
No.
I don't know.
I think I was going with that.
Well, you said they overcame each other's physical limitations by... Well, and then your hand motions.
Oh, no.
I didn't know where we were going with it. That's just me being Italian.
My hands are all over
the place.
Yes, that's why we don't do video on the podcast, because
otherwise people are like, what is he doing, directing an airplane to land?
Exactly.
He's going to knock over the
camera. He's
going
to knock over, But, no, the physical limitation is, spoiler alert, the...
No, don't tell me!
Okay, I won't
I'm
tell
kidding,
you, I won't tell
I'm
you.
Kidding, but don't tell me!
Okay, I won't. Anyway, spoilers are very important to avoid, especially with this next one coming up in TV. The 91st Annual Academy Awards airs this Sunday at 8 p.m. on ABC. You can watch as the year's best movies are awarded the industry's highest honors, but you'll also want to tune in to see the results of one of the most controversial Oscars in recent memory. For the first time in 30 years, the Oscars will go hostless, but the Academy also had to walk back two different format decisions based on backlash, including creating a Best Popular Movie category and giving four awards during commercial breaks. So if you've been following the controversy like we have on the podcast, you'll want to tune in and see, you know, how big of an S show this awards show is. Go check out the 91st Annual Academy Awards this Sunday. And finally, in video games, Anthem releases this week on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Hashtag Mass Effect died for this. This third-person sci-fi action shooter game from BioWare and EA is the latest contestant to the shared world multiplayer slash live service game trend. Players will find themselves leveling up with three other players to take on missions in an open world in order to find better loot and level up their characters for even more difficult missions. After missions, players retreat back to their personal fort to experience their story beats separate from their teammates. Reviews are starting to trickle out because EA has a very tight embargo on it, but they're not really positive so far. OpenCritic has it in the mid-60s, which everybody sort of anticipated. Here's a choice quote from one of the early reviews from VG247. Quote, "Here we have a AAA game that's clearly been put together by talented people, yet it feels like it's been designed by a boardroom full of gray-skinned men in $2,000 suits. It's game design based on KPIs and Google Trends. This is a BioWare title, of course, and that would give that... And what would a game from the creator of Mass Effect be without player choice? Anthem. It would be Anthem."
Great.
So, yeah, unfortunately, one of this year's biggest releases is not hitting the mark, but still, if you're in the mood for some multiplayer shooter action, go check out Anthem on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment. That does bother me, because
Mass Effect
was one of my favorite video game franchises, and they essentially sacrificed it for Anthem. So
it's really disappointing. For people that aren't familiar with Mass Effect, and Nana, you have a brief experience with Mass Effect.
Yes, you
watched nudity and sex.
We watched the scenes. You know why I liked it.
I'm into it.
Yeah. But other than that, the other reason why it was really popular is because it created a really, really wonderfully crafted world that was rich and deep with lore and characters and a whole bunch of different planets and races and locations to explore, and they stripped all that away and made it a very generic multiplayer shooter that's focused on people spending money for, like, you know, for virtual currency to unlock extra stuff, and it's got everybody all bothered with the direction they're going. This developer from really story based,
very disappointing in my opinion.
It is really disappointing.
So,
but that doesn't end the disappointing news here in the entertainment entree. Unfortunately,
let's keep it going.
That's right. The disappointment is just starting. Netflix announced that they are finally canceling the last of their Marvel exclusive shows, Punisher and Jessica Jones, which is not unexpected, but still shocking because these were two shows that were widely regarded as the best of the bunch.
Yeah, I loved Punisher.
Yeah, and a lot of people really love Jessica Jones. That was one of the first Netflix exclusive Marvel shows. But these two just join a long list of other canceled Netflix Marvel exclusives. Iron Fist, Luke Cage, and Daredevil were all canceled, you know, within weeks of each other. So we had to see this coming. But Marvel head of television Jeff Loeb wrote a blog post. He said in it, quote, "Our network partner may have decided they no longer want to continue telling the tales of these great characters, but you know Marvel better than that." And then he ended the post with, "To be continued!" exclamation point. So a lot of people are wondering, what does that "to be continued" mean? There's a lot of speculation going on because we know that Disney's streaming service, Disney Plus, is quickly approaching its late 2019 launch. So it's sort of obvious why this move was made by Netflix.
They just got rid of Marvel? Like, they're getting rid of the Marvel shows?
They're getting rid of basically all Marvel content on Netflix because Disney...
Because of a Disney thing? Like, because of a partnership thing?
Well, Disney owns Marvel, and Disney's starting their own streaming service. So this isn't the stated reason, but you have to imagine that Disney was like, look, they're your shows, you can continue, but we're not really going to give them any support or advertising or, you know, production assistance. Right. Because they have their own streaming service that they want to, you know, focus on, and they don't want to spend money and resources on a rival's shows. So what did Netflix do? They weren't forced to cancel them, but for all intents and purposes, they're like, all right, well, we got these, like, five shows that...
That kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does kind of suck.
Because, like, it almost ruins it for the viewer.
Absolutely. It absolutely does. Punisher was just hitting its stride. Jessica Jones was, like I said, the first one. And Daredevil was one of the most popular ones. So, yeah, a lot of fans are angered by this. But, like, where do you guys see this going now, this to be continued? Do we have any hope of these series coming onto the Disney Plus platform? I know Disney probably wants to make Marvel a key selling point.
Yeah, I would imagine that they're going to pick up a couple of these for the Disney Plus. But my thing is, I don't see how Disney's going to be able to pull, like, an R-rated Punisher.
Right.
If they want to try and sell this to, you know, kids
you know
and
what?
Stuff.
You say that, but I recently saw an article that said Disney is planning to keep properties like Deadpool and Wolverine R-rated after they acquired Fox.
They better. So, they better not try and water it down.
It can't be only to kids. Like, yeah, they've got to... If it's going to be as big of a platform as they say, they've got to be able to advertise to others than just kids.
Right.
Well, they don't just advertise to just kids either because, I mean, all of Marvel properties are PG-13, so... You know, right there you have, like, the teen demographic. But I've always said that their Fox acquisition was mostly about them branching into that 18 to, like, 18-plus, you know, the 18 to 35 demographic. Because they had, you know, the Pixar and the Disney proper doing the kids stuff. They have Marvel and Lucasfilm doing the teenage, early 20s stuff. And now Fox brings the adult programming. So I think that's really what they're going. They're trying to capture that last demographic that they've been struggling to nail down. So that's my hope. You know, Disney's not dumb. They didn't create a huge multimedia conglomerate to just be like, we're just going to totally ignore what made Deadpool so popular, what made Daredevil so popular.
I'm sure it'll be like a parental guidance section or something.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have solutions. Although then again, we say that we don't really know. There's not really much out there about
Disney+. But that's
Disney
what
Plus.
Bothers me, is that they don't have a lot of details released about
that's
it.
That's Disney. Like, they're not going to...
Yeah, they're going to keep it under lock and key until the last moment.
Yeah, but to me, that signifies that there's something else at play here, you know, that they're going to try and
with this. What do you think their play is then? To just make it a PG-13 Punisher or PG-13 Daredevil?
I think that they're going to have that boardroom meeting, whatever, and they're going to sit down and realize, you know, that R-rated films, it's the exception to the rule when an R-rated film does financially well on a massive scale, you know?
Right.
When you release a film that's R-rated, it doesn't usually succeed beyond your wildest imaginations.
Right.
You know? But when it's PG-13 or PG, then you can bring, you know, the whole family or something. And then when you water it down, it ruins, in my opinion, ruins the story. But these damn families go out and go see the movie.
Families trying to have a good time.
But you know, they sell six tickets as opposed to two. You know, like it. You know, they make that argument. And when it comes down to Disney's a big corporation, I think they're going to do something like that. Until I see an official proclamation or whatever that Disney's going to stick to the R-rated versions of these entities, I don't think it's going to happen. I think Disney's going to try and water it down as far as they can, because then you can appeal to a much bigger audience than you can if it's an R-rated or a mature rated TV piece of TV or movie.
You are quite heated.
I am, because...
Well, you were a big fan of Punisher specifically.
Right. I loved Punisher. I think it has to be an R-rated film. It has to be an R-rated entity, you know, because he's supposed to be about justice at no matter what ends to the, you know, earth he has to go. So if it's PG-13, you know, then you're putting limits on something that the character doesn't have limits on.
Right.
You know? That was my big thing with Bioshock. They wanted to make Bioshock a movie, and... it came out in a report that the movie studios were like, we would like to see it too, but it needs to be PG-13. And everyone's like, no, Bioshock has, like, you know, blood, gore, and existential themes, and no, it can't be an R-rated movie. And they just stopped production because of it. And in my opinion, rightfully so, because why bother doing a half-assed, you know, PG-13 watered-down version of it? And I think the same thing could happen to all these properties that Disney all of a sudden just bought up. So,
okay.
It worries me.
So I just want to add here that Bob Iger, the Disney chairman and CEO, did say back in early February when asked about the R rating of Deadpool specifically and other adult-oriented Marvel movies, he said, quote, we will continue in that business. There's certainly popularity with those types of films. But he also added the importance of, quote, carefully branding them so we're not in any way confusing the consumer. So we could see them keep Fox as, like, a spin-off subsidiary and just be like, this is our adult branded stuff.
Version.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. I agree that if they had picked this up and there was no Daredevil, no Punisher, no Deadpool already out there, they would definitely try for PG-13.
Yeah.
Having it be a new franchise. But having it be established and having the popularity of all those brands with that adult rating, they're not going to risk alienating that fan base and splintering it off just to gain some 13 to 18 demographic. You know what I mean? They're going to want to keep that positive word of mouth, that positive run that they have already. You know, why try to fix something that ain't broken, right?
Right.
I have faith that Disney is smart, that they didn't somehow stumble ass backwards into owning half of all television production in America.
I don't think it's stumbling. I think that was just the corporate move to just buy out your competitor.
But
what I'm saying
is they are smart and savvy with how they position their brands, and they know what they're doing, because other companies could have made plays for these businesses, but Disney's the only one that has the success in gobbling up these companies because they know what they're doing. You know, we really haven't seen them miss on a Marvel or Star Wars movie in a big way. Same thing with Pixar.
I mean, like, depends on how you want to phrase,
like,
that again.
Well, hold on. 80% of, I would say like 75 to 80% of the stuff they've put out that's been Star Wars, Marvel, or Pixar branded have been like lights out amazing. No, you don't agree? You don't agree?
I think we're getting into a bigger issue.
Well, no, I mean, I would agree with you, but I know there's a huge segment of Star Wars fans that don't like the current movies.
But they'd also be wrong, Rich.
Okay, right. I would agree with you, but I'm just saying that statement is kind of contentious, especially among the Star Wars fans.
But
I represent the Star Wars delegation,
so I'm trying to represent
all of them right now.
I represent, let's look at the Metacritic and let's look at the ticket sales, because those two things, I think, outweigh the opinions of certain extremist fan bases.
Okay. That sounds fair. And we've come together on this important treaty in terms of Disney properties. Excellent.
But anyway, to circle back to the whole
thing.
Put
that in the President's Day notes that a glorious treaty has been arranged.
I don't know what the treaty is about, but
I still want you to speak in that accent for an entire podcast.
The entire podcast.
It's tough to do.
Yeah. It's going to be tough for Disney to juggle all this stuff. And I, here's the thing. You guys know that I'm an unabashed Disney fan. So, you know, I'm trusting in what they're doing. Until I see otherwise, until I see them really make a bad decision and really just totally whiff on something, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I feel like they've earned that, you know, with the properties they've put out so far. And on the other side of that, I think Netflix is going to be completely fine with this, because they needed those Marvel properties earlier to generate buzz for their exclusive shows. They don't need them now. They have enough shows and movies to stand on. They have awards winners, and, you know, there's so much buzz around their properties. They can, you know, yeah, it sucks for fans, and I know you're disappointed you know, because you're losing one of your favorite shows. But Netflix, it's like they're not a pillar of its service anymore.
Yeah. So that's the way the cookie crumbles on terms of the selections that we have on Netflix and the upcoming Disney Plus. Is that official? That's what they're going to call
Disney Plus. Yes. There's literally nothing else known about it right now. So.
All right. So there you go. Keep an eye out for Disney Plus. That will be coming as another subscription that you're going to have to buy if you want all those properties. But with that, we will wrap up the entertainment entree. But don't go anywhere because, of course, I've got the non-fortune cookie odd news up next. I've got a lot of crazy stories, including a local story that we've got to talk about. Uh-oh. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'm Nikolai Vulko. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. That is order.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Did you hear this?
Plans have been greenlit to officially create a full-blown replica of the ill-fated ship, the Titanic.
Bad optics much?
Yeah.
What are they making, like an actual Titanic 2.0, like a new Titanic?
Yes, you're thinking absolutely right.
No.
Spearheaded by Australian mining tycoon Clive Palmer, the shipping company Blue Star Line has announced its plans that they are going to actually build Titanic 2.
Remember that ship that sank and killed thousands of people? We're going to recreate that 2AT. And people are like, wait, what?
Blue Star Line will create an authentic Titanic experience.
Okay. What was the Titanic experience? Dying on a door in the middle of the ocean.
They have also said that there will be enough lifeboats for everyone on board.
You see, you know you're off to a bad start when the legacy of this particular project forces you to say, don't worry, there's going to be enough lifeboats.
I also think it's really weird that this is just one person, like, you know, spearheading this, you know?
Who is this crazy...
He's a mining tycoon from Australia, Clive Palmer.
That's
this is literally just one guy going like, I want to build a Titanic! Here we go!
For some reason, this Australian is from Texas.
He's Australian.
Yeehaw! I don't know what country I'm from.
Here's $500 million. Build a boat, see?
That's what he did. He stormed out of his office one day. Boom! Door flies open. Build me a boat! And he just throws money. And people are like, what?
He's just pelting his assistant. Yeah.
Build me a boat! Build me a boat!
You see this movie? I want this one.
Sir, can we get a yacht?
No, this one right here on this VHS game.
He's holding up the battered VHS box of Titanic.
I want this one.
That is how I picture this person. Because a sane, rational, normal functioning human being would probably not go this route.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you guys watch the meme thing? The guy not eating cereal?
Yeah, it's Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
I don't know
Have
why.
Have some respect.
Right, I know. I'm sorry, Lord Ryan Gosling. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I don't know why I forgot your name there.
Stud.
Yeah, it was a lot funnier than I anticipated. Because when you described it, you're like, it's just him not eating cereal. I was like, oh, okay. I do that most mornings.
I'm not good really at... relaying information like
but
that.
No, it was really good because somebody found a whole bunch of clips of Ryan Gosling like turning away or looking at something in disgust or like covering up his mouth with like a shirt or a napkin or something, and they just waved a spoonful of cereal in front of him, and it looked like he was reacting to it every time, and it was actually hilarious.
It's great.
How perfect it looked.
So there you go. If you have not checked out the meme, make sure you do.
There you go. A new segment in the show, Meme Recommendations.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go.
So first Hitler, then Ryan Gosling.
There you go.
Fantastic.
Too soon.
Too soon? What?
Too soon.
Anyway.
Oh my God.
Something else that's just as funny as memes... is our third and final segment of the show, where it's time to go over all the odd news that I can find on the internet. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part.
Back,
never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell of a ride.
Woo! Odd news.
That's right, everybody. Give out a celebratory gorilla huff. Is that what it is? A huff? I don't even. What do you call it?
I don't know. I'm just pushing air out of my mouth.
However,
I think that would be a huff. So anyway, give out a celebratory huff in preparation for the non-fortune cookie odd news here in this segment. Rich researches the news. He reads the news, and Melissa, Nana, and I react to the news. He finds all. I don't know why I used your full name.
Yeah, oh, weird. It sounded like you had two different people, Melissa.
I know.
Nana.
It was one of those things. It's like a Harriet Tubman. I said it, and I was like, "No, come back,
take it back." It's okay. I forgive you. Both
Nana
of me.
And I.
Two face over here now.
We all forgive you.
Now she's got two distinct personalities.
All of your personalities. Compose myself. We react to the news. Sometimes in weird and wacky ways, most of the times weird and wacky ways, because we don't know what's about to happen, you guys don't know what's about to happen, and even Richard Liebig doesn't know what's about to happen.
Wow. Because
these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths, and I'm ready. I, Michael Costanzo, I'm ready.
Yes.
For the odd news. There we go.
Okay, all right.
Everybody's there we go. Full name's in there.
Let's do it.
We're being all proper. Right. Like the presidents.
Yes, of course. Proper.
Hail to the presidents.
Yes.
Hail to the chief.
Ooh, there you go.
That's the song.
Staff.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
You have to give props to the chief of staff, yes. Man. He's the one that makes everything happen.
All right. I want to do this story right now because I need to know your guys' opinion on
Rich
this.
Rich is cackling with glee over there during the
This is the local story here. This is actually happening in Philadelphia. Copies of a disturbing anonymous letter were reportedly delivered to houses in Fairmount on Sunday afternoon, according to multiple Reddit users. And this thing is just weird. I have no idea even where to begin. So I'm going to just read the letter as it is.
Okay.
It's kind of a forceful letter asking people to meet up, but it's worded in an overly dramatic way. So
okay.
I'm going to read the letter as it is with unnecessarily dramatic music in the background.
Of course.
The title of the letter... To start off with is ABBA, by the way. Just starts off.
Does this have anything to do
like
with
the band?
Just ABBA, sure.
Does it involve dancing queens at all? Or?
No, not at all.
Okay.
That's the title of the
okay.
letter, ABBA. But after that, here's how it reads. And let's kick up the dramatic music here. Here's how it reads. This is to inform you that all the food that you ate since first grade is alive in your body. Especially the dead animal remains, or meat, since it was cooked alive. It is alive in your body. Anywhere it goes now, you must go with it.
What?
That's 365 days a year, from first grade until now. This is on a letter that everybody got in Fairmount, by the way.
Every person in Fairmount?
A lot of them. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. Also, newborn babies received your first crate body.
What?
Or a meal, just like that, 365 days a year. Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
This is like really weird, like...
There's gotta be something behind this. There's gotta be something like... bigger than us.
This is just really weird open mic night poetry is what it is.
The only way I see for you to save yourself from the every which way of being burned alive is schedule yourself to become a solid steel statue and place yourself under anesthesia.
I'm in.
Mix your body with melted metal, then re-solidify the metal and seal yourself in cement.
Is it metal or cement?
Is there like
both.
A...
It's both.
Is there like a sign-in sheet somewhere?
Yeah.
When it becomes real to you, you type it up and have lots of copies made and then pass them out.
I almost got meta there at the end. That's so weird.
What is truly needed for all of us is a steel furnace where metal can be melted and the bodies of people and animals mixed with the metal can become steel and we will unable to be hurt.
Okay.
Of course, you'll be sedated first.
Oh, well.
All right, then.
That was
then
really...
Of course.
You know, that was really my only question. So thank you for clearing that up.
Yes, it's very, very important that that was mentioned in the letter.
Wow.
Because I don't like pain.
So where's everybody meeting at?
Is that it?
I'm glad you mentioned that. Here's the last...
Yeah, because we got to go to this now.
Here's the last part of the letter. There will be an important meeting on April 27th at 12 o'clock in the afternoon... On the subject of building this steel furnace at 27th and Girard Avenue.
So they're going to build the furnace?
Damn it, I'm out of town.
Oh!
You're going to miss the burning.
No, this sounds like you shouldn't show up. Are you sure that sounds like something you should show up to.
That's the weekend of the NFL draft, Rich.
Oh, no.
Guys, it's okay. Everyone's probably going to get blown up.
But you could be unable to be hurt.
I gotta kill those living animals inside of me.
So at the corner of 27th and Girard?
Yes.
Yeah, like that's not a safe area anyway. We're not going there. You guys are not allowed to go there.
We will meet to discuss how we will get a bulldozer to dig ditches and get the steel furnace equipment. Do attend. That's the last line.
Wow, that was very forceful.
That's the last line. Do attend.
So now tell us who wrote it.
We have no idea.
What?
Police have no idea who delivered this letter to all the people in Fairmount. But as a joke, there's now a Facebook event that is inviting people to get to that location on that day, and 100 people have all committed that they are going to go to this random meeting.
I kind of want to know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You'll find out.
Will there be a steel furnace?
I don't want to go, but I really want to follow this and see.
I'm staying far away from this one.
Oh, please let something happen. I don't know what I want to have
happen. You don't want something to happen.
No, but I kind of do, though.
What if it's just like a promotional thing for like someone's like small business?
That's going to be such a letdown.
Right?
If they're like, here's the goldsmithing shop or something. I don't even know.
We're selling tops of donuts.
Tim's Donut Shop.
People just show up and it's like, what is this donut shop doing here?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't believe it. I don't think it's any. I feel like it's probably nothing.
It's probably something that somebody wrote up in like some weird drug-induced state. And they're just like, I'm going to send this to everybody.
Right.
No, wait. How did it get dispersed? Was it like in the mail?
It was folded up. placed in the mailboxes.
So it wasn't delivered. It was just...
It was delivered by some random guy.
So some random guy was walking around and dropping off these letters individually.
Yes. In Fairmount.
Wow.
That takes less work than mailing them, though. Remember. Because it costs something to mail
them. That's true. Somebody has way too much time on their hands.
I think it's a crazy person.
Probably.
But I want to know what they were thinking.
I'm kind of interested in this whole theory.
Let's recap. The title of this whole letter is called ABBA for some odd reason.
Well, what if it means something bigger? Like, what if there's like some joke that we're missing in there? You know what I mean?
I don't think so.
Like an inside joke or like just a really obscure
reference?
Like an outside joke.
I don't think so, because multiple Reddit users have been trying to figure this out because they all received this letter
and they
haven't
cracked it yet.
No,
I just searched letter in Philly and there's like tons of articles written about it.
Yeah, no, because it's
so we don't know yet,
right? This is something that's happened. 100 people on Facebook have all agreed that they're going to attend whatever random meeting this is on April 27th.
I can't wait. I can't wait to find out.
We should at least attend it on Facebook. So once it happens, maybe someone will post inside Facebook it actually is.
So we can stay up to date on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that this is going to be on the show the week after that. First week of May, we're talking about this.
Yeah, we got to figure out what this was.
You'll have to come back on, Nana, so we can do a recap.
I need to know why ABBA is the title of the letter. I need to know why breakfast, lunch, dinner is
mentioned.
I'm
more interested in this theory that the animals are living inside of you since first grade.
I want to know why it started.
Yeah, specifically first grade your body has the ability to retain.
So before that point, you ate something and was either
right through your system.
It was either obliterated or passed straight through. But starting in first grade, something happened to you, like biomechanically, where the body's like, no, I'm going to regenerate this chicken nugget this kid ate at McDonald's into a fully formed chicken, and it's going to live in your body.
I still think it's nothing. I hate to be such a buzzkill, but I think it's absolutely nothing.
I mean,
yeah, it's probably some
crazy person. I'm 99% sure it's absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
But in the case it's the 1%, you know, I got to find out what's happening.
Well, we will. We will.
On Facebook. No, I'm not going there.
Reporting.
I'm not going there because it's just going to be 150 people standing on a random street corner being
like,
where's the furnace?
What if it's like Fire Festival? And everyone's so excited and goes there, and all there are hurricane tents and cheese sandwiches.
Well, that would be par for the course for Philadelphia, I think.
Yeah. Actually, that would be probably a luxury for Philadelphia.
Oh, a cheese sandwich.
Ooh.
The day's this not just a made loss. My weekend. God damn it, it's only American cheese.
This day's not too bad.
Yeah, but then it will live inside of you.
Right. Oh, that's right.
Wait, was it just animals or like what? What was it again? Animals will live inside of you?
Animal remains or meat.
Yeah.
Like will remain inside
meat,
of your body.
The animal remains are inside you. And Jell-O. Jell-O's made from animal bones.
Starting from
so what, it never
first
leaves
grade,
you?
According to this guy's theory.
Yeah.
From
and
first
in order,
grade on.
And in order, and you have to take it with you everywhere.
Yes.
I mean, you can't leave your body behind, really.
Unless you decide to put yourself
become
in the
statue.
Steel furnace
become
and become a statue.
Right.
Don't worry. You're going to be sedated.
Right.
I love that part. Don't worry. You will be sedated.
And is, well, but wait, the party or gathering of sorts is apparently to find the equipment to build.
It's not actually
going and turning into a statue.
No, because we need to get it first.
We need to get the equipment to build
the
furnace to become a
statue. It's a furnace building party.
Right.
It's like a new trend. It hasn't really gone mainstream yet. You get your friends together, you build a furnace.
It's not even building yet, though. They have to dig and find it.
That's right. What do you say?
The
bulldozer dig.
And then the steel furnace equipment.
So
you know, bring your friend who has a bulldozer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And do attend.
And do attend, yes.
Yeah, oh boy. That's not even an option. That's not even an option at that point. Do attend.
Right. It's not like RSVP. You know, it's just do attend.
Put that on your wedding invitations.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something's
do attend.
You are legally bound to attend.
You open this letter now. You must attend.
By opening this letter, you agree to its terms and services.
So there you go. This
is
an actual letter that multiple residents of Fairmount got on Sunday morning. So
you know what's truly disturbing about that? In that all that craziness, this person had that glimmer of sanity where it's like, "Don't worry, you'll be sedated." Like if you really break it down, like the whole thing is just the ravings of a lunatic. But somewhere he had like 3 seconds where he's like, "Oh." People are probably worried it's going
to
hurt.
I
have to tell them.
I have to calm
sedated.
Their fears.
Isn't that the most disturbing part? That
yes.
Like there was that glimmer of sanity.
That's why
like,
I think that this is not something I want to show up to.
It's just going to, yeah.
It's probably like some fucking serial killer part of my language.
Best case scenario, it's just going to be 150 people waiting around for nothing to happen.
Worst case scenario, there's
a dude
shooting up a park.
There's a dude on that corner with a bulldozer ready
with
to
a bulldozer
go.
Yeah. Ready to come through.
And people show up and they're like, uh-oh.
I think
this
that's the best case scenario, a guy in a bulldozer. I think the worst case scenario
it's
is
just
someone like
some
just murdering
crazy
all of these
dude,
people.
Yeah, murder spree.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's
it is Fairmount.
And
why are you bringing logic
I'm
and reason
sorry,
to this?
I don't mean to turn it that way, but that doesn't
no, it's true though.
Gathering a huge crowd of people, that doesn't
yeah.
sound like for a reason of
right.
nonsense.
Becoming into a statue, a steel
you're
statue.
You're right, because here's the thing. People are more likely to attend this than they would if somebody's like, I'm having like a random thing, you know? They're more likely to go to this because what was my first reaction? I have to go to this just to find out.
Exactly.
You know?
And I'm like,
and they're
going
to play ABBA. The title of the letter is ABBA.
ABBA.
And there's going to be breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Somebody has to crack this code. Leave it to the internet. They'll figure it out.
They will.
There's like some... Either it's just the ravings of a lunatic, or this is like some weird encoded thing. Yeah, or it's an elaborate joke.
Or it's a small business trying to sell the tops of their donuts.
So many possibilities.
Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully the internet will find out. But
I hope so.
As of right now, Philadelphia is stumped. We have no idea who sent these letters out and what it means.
This is very Philadelphia, I feel like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. That was the local story. Let's get to other stories I had that I had planned to read before Sunday. This is from Superfan Julie. She sent this in.
Okay, yeah. We've had a few stories that she sent in before.
Yeah.
Right?
She asked us to talk about this story. This actually happened 2 years ago, but she wants us to talk about this because...
2 years ago? Are you sure we didn't already talk about
it? No, we didn't talk about it.
Okay.
But she wants us to talk about it because of how disgusting it is.
Okay. So, we like disgusting.
Of course, we love disgusting, so we're going to run with it. And it's from Britain.
Ooh, jolly old
better.
Britain.
Yep.
Tea and crimpets.
Fish and chips.
Shine your shoe, governor. Oi. Pip, cheerio. I don't know.
Pip, cheerio.
Okay. This is the only things I know how to say in British.
Well, let's see if you can say anything in British after this story.
Okay.
A British woman whose goal was to make a dress that was more disgusting than something that Lady Gaga would wear may have succeeded beyond anyone's expectations because Sarah Louise Bryan unveiled a dress out of a bra and a skirt outfit that was made from pubic hair that was donated to her via her Twitter page.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Yeah, this is disgusting.
It was donated to her.
Yeah.
Wait.
Oh.
Okay, so it's not her pubes.
No, this is other people's pubes.
Oh, that's weird.
The female designer was inspired by Lady Gaga because she now wanted to try and create something completely outlandish. She told news outlets, quote, I really wanted the world's most unique and disgusting dress design.
Yeah.
Boy, what a goal.
Yeah. And let me tell you, this is definitely her pinnacle in life.
Yeah.
Is
it's never
going
to get better than this.
Do we get to see this?
Yeah, there's pictures if you want to check it out. Yep.
I'm on it. Wait, hold on. Let me pull up some.
So did she sew it the way you would sew, or did she just like kind of tangle it all up and then tie it together?
Let me see if it says here.
Brian
said that she got the hair donated from British men and and the odd American.
Comb for crabs, please.
Yeah. She got the hair in envelopes in the mail.
Well, how else would she get it?
Yep. The hair came mostly from brunettes, but there is a mix of red and gray in the mix as well.
Oh, my God.
Yep. This
She's not a bad-looking girl. No. But the dress is...
Mike's... there you go.
Holy shit, that's a lot of big dress.
That's a big dress.
That's a huge bush.
That's a lot of pubes. Hold on.
It's a huge bush.
Look at that bush.
See, right?
Yeah.
She's not bad looking, but...
No, that girl's bad shit.
Yeah. No. Don't stick it in crazy.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Okay. It is a massive dress.
Yes.
It's not...
It's not even like a cool dress.
I don't know what I was envisioning, but it goes all the way to the floor.
But it's also like...
Like, this is an evening gown type shit here.
But it's not even fashionable. Like, it's
no, it's not. It's just brown.
And then the bottom of the dress.
Well, she said she wanted to make something that was worse than Lady Gaga. Something that she wouldn't wear. So,
yeah, but Lady Gaga would wear that.
Would Lady Gaga?
I don't know if she'd wear pubes.
She probably would still
say
she'd wear
a bra and a skirt.
That's a lot. I don't know, man. Those pubes are very long.
That's a lot of pubes.
Brian said that she sterilized the hair before applying it to a pre-cut bra, and she put it on with hot glue. She said she needed 6 months of collection
to get
enough pubic hair to create the dress. When it came time to put the outfit together, she said things got a little bit hairy because...
Oh!
Yes, I thought you guys would like that.
Oh, man. She's a comic.
Because she started gagging while working on the dress, so she had to work with eye masks, breathing masks, and the thickest gloves that she could find in order to avoid any pubic hair getting into places she did not want it to go into.
Oh my god.
Wait, why was she gagging? Because she kept swallowing it?
I guess when you're working with that much, it can...
It might... It,
yeah.
Go. I would imagine there maybe might be an odor...
Yeah, that. And
some people might not be hygienic.
Yeah.
Well, she said she took it through a process. She like.
She said she sterilized the hair, but I guess maybe when you're working with that much, it's.
Well, it's and hair, also, it goes also, yeah, if you're hair. Working with a lot of loose hair.
Guys, just... stop doing the hand motion. Like, you know, there's so much, like.
We're both Italian, we can't help it.
Just, right, but it's like.
We're both miming, like mixing something.
You're, like, digging through like, bowls of pubic hair.
You know how people, like, that. You know how people, like, might, like, toss, like, something?
Yes.
That's what we're doing.
And that's all I'm imagining is you tossing the
She's
pubes.
Just sitting there at the table, just, ha, 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 just toss.
But she can't laugh too hard because then she'll breathe it in.
Right, she'll breathe it in and then,
yeah,
and
right.
then die. Because that's what would happen.
Is there like a moral to this story?
A moral? I don't know. Just
don't play with pubes, kids.
Yeah, right.
You know what? You know what's really upsetting about this story is the fact that she's like, I want to make a dress out of pubes. And there were all these guys online that were like, yes. Snip, 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 snip.
Volunteer.
They were ready to go.
Yeah, here like, we are. We're ready
how,
to show up.
How people are pervy. But that's like a new level, like just sending her all their trimmings and
yeah,
they were just so eager and ready and willing.
I'm not comfortable with this.
Yeah.
Well, she said that she thought of what would be the worst thing to have on your dress, and that's how she came up with the idea for it. Although she was interested in trying to create a dress made of sperm next, she has decided to retire.
What was that?
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Wait,
no. But
she says she's decided to retire from the world of fashion, and instead she's going to switch to her photography career. So, this,
oh my god,
this officially.
But we can't do this, semen, because first of all, the cum box. We've seen what happens.
Yeah, it doesn't hold
it
up.
It like ferments after a while.
Yeah, and it goes in people's backs. Callback.
That's a callback.
Yeah,
it's a story from a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
I know. I was here.
I know. But no, I can't stop thinking of that
person.
And
then they turn it to steel.
Yes, because it's living inside them. And it's the only way. Ooh. It was. Caused an infection. That's living inside of that person.
Living inside.
How would you make a dress out of that, though?
I don't know.
Would
like gobs? Gobs of it?
Do you like use it like glue for like the seams? Like, I don't understand. Like,
I mean, maybe there's like a base and then you just put globs of it together.
Like
globs.
Nana doesn't like that word right now.
Globs of semen.
Like, do they use it? Like, do they like harden it and use it as beads or something? Like, I'm just like, how? Like,
your beads of semen.
Maybe if it's got like that raindrop pattern, you can put it on as like a pattern.
Should have held the pubes together with globs of semen.
That would really
make it
disgusting.
Let's write her. Can we write her? Check.
Can we write her? This story's years old. We're just she's gonna
she's
get
probably still alive.
She's just gonna get a random
alive.
Letter. We'd like to propose an idea.
Will you have her picture? Maybe there's like a Twitter,
and we'll title
a
it
Twitter.
Well, she says she's trying to start her photography career, so she's got to have an Instagram.
This was 2 years ago,
no,
Rich.
We're
when you say
find
start
her
photography career, she's already started it.
She's probably done it already too.
Yeah.
Either
over.
That or she's collecting semen right now
you
as
have
we speak.
Her
right, so now it's the perfect time to get back into the
see
dressmaking business.
See if there's a Twitter
handle in there. She already tried it, and now she's ready to come back full circle into the world of dressmaking.
Come back.
Weird.
There you go.
Weird dressmaking business.
Yeah, just get her Twitter handle, and we'll reach out to her after this, okay?
There you go.
Oh, my God. We can try.
We can find it.
Yes.
I'm a recruiter. I'll
yeah, that's right.
Down.
You'll figure it out. Okay, so there you go. Thank
She's
you.
She's a mother of two.
Fantastic.
I hate you so much.
What?
I hate you. Move on. We need to move on.
Yes.
So, I'm just reading this article, this random British tabloid article. I found her name. I'm not going to say it. Did you already say
it? Yeah, I said her name, Sarah Louise Bryan.
Sarah,
oh my god,
right.
Could it be more British?
It was in the story. But anyway, thank you to Julianne for submitting that story. She really wanted
us
to...
thanks for making us all sick.
Thank you.
She really
super
wanted
fan.
Us, she wanted us to talk about it.
I found her Twitter.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
That's not the same
told
person.
Told you. Wait, can we still reach out to that person?
We thought you were this...
Do you want to see the person I found that's clearly not that same person?
We thought you were the pew person.
Oh, maybe she gained some weight.
Oh, maybe.
It could be her after, you know...
What, Sarah Bryant?
That's not the same person.
I don't know. I have no idea. I can't
see.
It's far away.
Well, we're going to send her a Twitter thing anyway.
And we're going to say, you should make a cum dress, and then she'll block us and report us.
She's going to report us to Twitter.
The good news is, I don't use my Twitter anymore.
So you're going to sacrifice your Twitter.
I'll sacrifice my Twitter.
There you go. Taking one for the team.
Good job. Good job, Nana.
I'll take a bunch of globs for the team, if you will.
Oh.
Whoa.
Wow.
Okay.
Yikes.
All right.
So tweet at... No, I'm kidding. She's doing the hand motion.
No, you guys
In a giant bucket, you're just just kneading the dough.
All right.
Oh,
no.
You're gonna get a good dress out of it. It's the... All right.
Because you got to harden it a little bit, and then you're rolling it out. You're making it into sheets. You're pressing it into, like, a fabric, you know? It's a long and arduous process. Handcrafted.
Sheets right? of semen.
Sheets of...
Yeah, it's very handcrafted.
Oh, my God, why?
But that it's like a rock-hard sheet.
It's like armor. It's like...
That thing won't break.
I think she should have glued the pubic hair on with the semen.
I mean, that would have really been next disgusting. Level right there. Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah. If she was dedicated to her craft. Now, I don't want to call her out for lacking dedication and commitment, but I mean, really.
What a lazy bitch.
Yeah, lazy. Definitely a lazy bitch. Oh, yeah, you can't half-ass it, man.
Right.
You can't half-ass it.
A lazy wanker.
Yes, yeah, that would be the proper British insult. Wanker. Yes.
All right, so there you go. Thank you, Julianne, for that story. Let's go to another European country. We're going to go to Germany in this one.
I love Germany.
Nice. Yeah, why not? We haven't been to Germany in a while. Why not? Random German music.
Okay.
I don't think that's from Germany.
No, it's not. It's from Wolfenstein.
It's from Wolfenstein?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, did you just randomly do the quickest search for German music ever?
Close. I just...
They were just like, German music.
I just pulled it up because I love that song. But anyway, here's the story.
Okay.
I think you're going to like this story, Mike.
All right.
Well, why won't I like it?
I think you'll be 50. No, because
there's dresses made out of pubic hair.
Yeah, there's
that's
no.
Why.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This,
well,
we're
fuck
done.
It.
We're done with the pubic hair. I'm sorry.
Out.
But I know Mike particularly loves these kinds of stories here. So
okay.
Maybe you do too. We'll see.
If it's about sausages, I'm going to murder
you. It is.
No.
It is Germany.
It's Germany, but it's not sausages.
It is Germany.
No, it's not. Not sausages.
They call them bratwurst. Oh, my God. Remember that story about the bratwurst bed and breakfast?
Yeah, that was a couple weeks ago.
That's
but
amazing.
Anyway.
It's a completely separate thing.
Here's the story I want to read. A German woman claims in a recent interview with German news outlets that she is romantically in love with a 737 Boeing airplane.
Yes.
Yes.
Can't do
this.
Yes,
let them be what they want to be, all right?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
She's like, oh, look at those jet turbines.
And they've announced that they're engaged.
Yes.
Wait, who's they?
Her and the jet.
She can't. That's not how that works.
Hey, yes. Hey. True love knows no bounds.
That's right. So take that. Woo. Spread that, world.
Keep going.
Okay.
I want to hear more about this.
Michelle Kopke from Berlin, Germany, recalls meeting Schatz the airplane.
His name's Schatz?
What? Wait, what?
His name's Schatz.
Schatz. S-C-H-A-T-Z. Schatz the airplane.
Maybe that's like the brand? Schatz Airlines?
Schatz. Yeah, what is Schatz?
She remembers that she
her
was...
Her nickname for him.
Yeah. She remembers that she was first attracted to his wings, winglets, and thrusters.
Well, wait, which part's the thruster?
The one.
You know where that one.
Yeah.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yes. So she says that the pair have been dating for 5 years.
Well, wait, doesn't he, like, fly around the world and stuff and, like, leave her and have a bunch of people sit inside him?
But
I mean, I think that's cheating.
He always comes home at night.
I just have to point out, I'm trying to search woman engaged to airplane, and the Google complete says chandelier, ghost, train station, and crossword puzzle.
Wow.
That's your random fact for the day.
I feel like I'd like to be engaged to a crossword puzzle because they always keep you guessing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Keeps it really interesting.
There you go. Hey, you got to spice it up sometimes, you know?
Right.
What's seven down? I don't know. Could be anything.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
Until we get to that part in our relationship.
Right. And then you both go down.
Fuck.
Anyway.
Oh, my God.
So she claims that she sleeps with her boyfriend every night.
What? You can't.
Because she has bought parts of the airplane.
What do you mean she bought parts of the airplane?
Wait, where is he?
This airline is just like, you want to buy a wheel? You want to buy, like, why are they just selling off parts of the airplane?
Maybe it, like, landed in her backyard and she knew it was fate.
The airplane landed in her backyard? This giant 737 is just like...
Right. And then there's parts.
Oh, you mean it crashed in her backyard?
Yeah, I was trying to put a love spin on
it. A love spin.
Is that what they're calling it now? A love spin?
What else? I want to know more. It's like a romantic comedy.
Yeah. I know, this should be a movie at this
rate. I can't find this lady anywhere.
First, keep going.
So, Cobb Key says that she has purchased actual components of the 737 Boeing airplane, including a panel that is her favorite thing to sleep with at night.
That's so weird.
What
do you mean by a panel? A panel of what?
But wait, is she the big spoon or the little spoon?
That's a good question.
This is important.
It depends on how big this panel is.
Well, she could probably just prop it up against the wall and go to town. Little spoon.
There you go. It's perfect. She could like sleep inside it if it's like curved, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
what kind of panel are we talking?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Details.
It just says a panel. All
right.
What does that mean? What panel? What are you talking? Like sheet metal?
Yeah, the thing outside the plane.
There's a lot of unanswered questions with the story. I think it's fake. I think it's all alternative news.
Alternative news.
Alternative news. Alternative facts.
She also says that she bought the 5-foot replica model, and she sleeps at that with that sometimes. So there you go. She can also
There's no way our questions are the same. You go first.
Well, no. I was going to ask if this is a form of mechanophilia.
I was going to ask it why she doesn't just marry the replica.
Right, that'd be so much easier.
Well, you know, you want to have the real thing, you know. You can't have the fake thing.
But
once you see the real thing in person, woo, it just takes your breath away.
I mean, he's so big, you know. That's what really attracted her to him.
How do you think she fucks it?
She just, I don't know.
Just
on
rubs
top
on it, I, you know.
It's an airplane,
up.
Rich. It's an airplane.
It's a rub-a-dub-dub.
You can't. It's gigantic. It's huge.
Yeah, she can't.
You can't
really
just
like,
rub on it. You might be able to get like a part of the tire, but like,
yeah. How would she get up there to rub on it, or does she like rub in the seats and
the
inside?
She climbs into the cockpit and she plays with the joystick.
Oh, boom. There you go. That's the real.
Wait, does it say that? It's got to say that in there.
What?
How do they consummate the marriage?
Right, because it has to be consummated in the eyes of God. And the people.
Go on.
I don't see anything specifically like that. But it's
how did the plane propose? Did it get down on one wing?
Was it landed or was it flying through the air proposing?
Yeah, was it a fancy proposal?
Yeah.
Like, did he write a message in the sky? Come on.
That would,
come
be,
on!
That would be romantic.
Come on,
no,
Shet!
What's,
that
what
would be
is romantic. This? Well, keep going. Give us all the details.
So, Kopke claims that her family has taken the news of this new boyfriend quite pleasantly and announced that they are going to have a wedding.
How have they not disowned her by now?
Yeah. She does have members of her family that says that she needs to seek therapy.
Oh,
well,
no
shit. Those people.
I never would have expected that.
Yeah,
I know.
Close-minded people. She claims, though, she's never been so happy with Shats. She says in the local news report, quote, "I sleep with my darling every night, whether it's with the real components or the model. Intimacy is a big part of my relationship.
Okay.
I want to
marry.
I want to marry my sweetheart, and we want to live together in a hangar."
What?
Wait, whose hangar? Wait.
Like an airplane hangar.
Like a warehouse?
The airplane hangar, yeah.
It's like a warehouse for
airplanes.
She wants
to live with the airplane in the
like
airplane
the giant
hangar.
But how much could that cost?
A lot.
A lot. But it's a special kind of love, so just let it be.
What
are the kids going to look like?
Wow, yeah. That's going to be impressive.
I don't know what to feel right now. I'm almost angry at this woman.
That she's getting away with this?
Yeah.
But she's not really, though. The airline isn't going to be like, sure, take this airplane.
Right,
but that's,
yeah.
That's why
that
I have
happen.
So many, there's so much more that I need to find out from this story. I'm going to do some research on this.
Some hardcore research.
Some hard investigative.
Yeah. Nana's going to visit Germany.
I'm
going to
visit Germany. What if I fall for Shats?
I know, right?
What if I get out there and it's like Nana wants to marry
Shats? And it's
Shats
a love
now.
Triangle.
It's a love triangle. It's like it's my best friend's wedding and I try to stop it.
Wait, what?
Like my best friend's wedding.
I think
movie.
She's referring to...
Oh, it's a movie. Oh, I'm like, holy shit. I thought you were dead serious that like you stopped your best friend's wedding.
No.
Nana just kicks down the door. She's like, I love the airplane.
Guys, it's a rom-com. Come on.
Sorry, that went right over my head.
I've never seen it, but I knew. Come on, Rich.
I don't know.
Come on.
Is it weird that I kind of want to write a script now for this rom-com?
Where a woman tries to marry an airplane and another one breaks up the marriage?
Well,
because
I think
true love cannot be defeated?
I want to start with a real story of how they fell in love.
Like, how did they meet? Was she just taking a flight?
I guess.
Yeah,
and
she was traveling.
How else
and
would
she
you
saw
meet
him
the
across the.
And she, but did she get on the plane and she's like, this is the one?
And she probably didn't even get on him. She was probably loading another and saw him through the window, soaring off into
the sunset.
It's
like one of those misconnections thing.
Aww. Right.
It's like you were a Boeing 737. I was standing in the terminal.
We locked eyes.
We locked eyes.
And docking bays.
When you looked my way, your turbine started spinning, and I just knew there was something between us. The way your flaps moved up and down, and you went through your flight checks.
Have you been through this before? It sounds oddly familiar.
Yeah, you seem like an expert on this.
I've mingled with a few airplanes in my day, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
This is probably the best odd news story I've ever heard.
I flew to Florida. I flew to Italy. That was like an eight-hour flight. You know? So was,
and you really loved your airplane?
I loved that airplane, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a boy.
I know.
We should have went for it. That could have been your relationship.
I don't know where the airplane is now. It's long gone. Broken heart over here.
It'll be okay.
Yeah. Aw, thank you.
Everything will work out for
It'll
you.
Right.
I'll find another airplane soon enough. This is so weird.
This is so weird. This is definitely the weirdest
thing
I've ever
heard. This is definitely one of the
weirdest
ones.
Well, there you go. That's,
I have
that's
so many more
from,
questions,
from
though. Like, we
I
could
know,
do an entire
done.
Podcast.
We're not
like,
done here.
Did you say what Shats was?
Why would you do that to us?
Was that the company?
It's a 737 Boeing airplane.
No, but what? What is Shats? Is that
who is
the,
Shats?
I think
what
that's
is
just
the, is that
nickname?
The airline, or is that the name of the plane?
I think that's just the nickname she gave the plane because it says Shats the airplane.
What does that mean?
And how are they intimate? I need to know this.
She has the.
Does he whir his engine? And she's like, "Oh yes, Shats. Yes,
yes. Yeah. Keep going. Keep
tell
going.
Me, tell me about it, Shats.
Boost those thrusters.
Boost those thrusters.
Oh my god."
Full throttle.
She sleeps with the damn panel of the airplane.
Can I find this woman on Twitter?
I can't find her. How do you spell her name? Michelle?
Kopke.
How do you spell Kopke?
K-O-B-K-E.
K-O-B-K-E?
Yeah, Kopke.
I hope these are all pulled up on separate tabs because I'm reaching out to every single one of these women.
We're going to find out. But there you go. It's a
all I can find are articles. Oh, wait. Woman reveals her boyfriend is plane she met at airport 5 years ago. Okay.
There you go.
Objectophilia. Woman says her boyfriend is a Boeing 737.
That's it.
Okay.
There we go.
Woman says the 40-ton passenger jet is her boyfriend. I found three articles. They're all very tabloidy, but I don't care.
Oh, my God. There I'm so go. Excited to read these.
Are these all the same? I hope these are all the same story and not just a lot of women.
Do a lot of women are a lot of women attracted to airplanes?
I think it's all the same story. It's got
Hey, everybody's got a kink. Yeah. And, you know, these people.
If you were to be attracted to one inanimate object, what would it be? Like, if you were to fall in a loving relationship with something.
Like a tender, loving, I'll always be there for this blank object. Yeah.
I don't know.
I've never really even.
Right?
I've never given that any sort of thought.
Yeah. Like, how do you actually get, like, sexually aroused by the thought of an inanimate object?
I'm not saying you. Listen, we don't need to go right to sex.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a guy. It goes right. I just jumped right to it.
I mean, why don't we just, you know.
We're just like, well, what object has the most holes? I mean, let's just get the breast. I'll be totally honest. I was like, well, it's got to be something that would work, you know? It's right. Like.
Yeah.
It can't just be like a random cardboard box. That doesn't accomplish anything, right? You know?
Right. Something to think about. Something to sleep on.
Okay.
There you go, Crispy Noodle Nation. There is your homework.
Hashtag. Inanimate object love.
There you go.
Perfect.
Perfect. I love it. Tweet at the Crispy Noodle.
Yes.
Hashtag. What is it? Inanimate object love?
Yeah, or something along those lines.
Something like
anything that involves
objectophilia.
Just add us that what you would fall in love with, and we'll know.
Yeah,
we'll know what that
we
is.
We really want to know.
Yeah,
Nana really wants to know.
I really do.
Yes, Nana needs to know all the answers.
I'm going
to
think about it too.
In the 21st century, it's all about free love and loving who you love. You know.
Yeah.
No judgment here. If you want to love an airplane, love that airplane.
Right. Hashtag right to love.
That's mm-hmm. right.
We've had that.
One of our first stories was the Bruce the Ferris wheel.
Yeah. A girl married a Ferris wheel. We had that. That was like one of our very first
odd
news
episodes.
See,
but I could see falling in love with a Ferris wheel.
It's like an emotional. Wait, what's the difference?
Well, no.
It's so magical and it goes around and around. You know?
Would you marry a
Ferris wheel?
I think
we found Nana's answer.
I could see the appeal. But no, a Ferris wheel.
But it's huge!
That's a good thing for a woman sometimes.
I just realized that. Yeah,
but no, I think, I don't know. I'll think about it. I'll come up with something good.
Okay.
I have to think about it, though. I have to look around and see what's around me. Because what I could fall in love with could be right in front of me.
The whole time.
It's the whole time.
That's right. It's right there in front of you every day.
A soundboard. Sound mixer.
Maybe it's your computer, you know? You never know.
Right? I'm going to think about it.
I hate my computer. We're in an abusive relationship.
Oh.
This thing because
you're always whacking it?
The things I've put this computer through are just awful.
Actually, me and my friend came up with this product because I watch Shark Tank all the time, and so I decided to come up with a product line, and one of them is the Whack It Station. Where it's like just a bunch of monitors.
That's it? Just a bunch of monitors?
That's it?
Well, I mean, you do certain things at the Whack It Station.
Yes.
Okay.
But now, it's spelled Whack It, and Whack It's all one word, and there's an exclamation point at the end.
Whack It.
Whack It Station.
So that's it? It's just a bunch of monitors?
So the whole thing started where a friend from work, he sent us this Snapchat, and he was like showing his workstation at home. And I was like, we don't need to see your Whack It Station. And then I was like, that's a brilliant idea.
So all you're talking about is a multi-monitor display, like that one over there.
There you go.
Oh my God.
Mike has a Whack It Station.
Wait,
your Whack It Station is in the kitchen?
No, that is my work from home.
Oh my
gosh,
we're gonna have to change all the Crispy Noodle things now. Now we have
there's like seven monitors over there.
There's two and a laptop.
That's
a TV.
No,
yep. There you go. It's all part of it.
Oh
so we
God.
Now have to. We
no,
now,
no.
It's the Crispy Noodle Kitchen Studio Whack It Station.
Yeah, it's the
there you
yeah.
Go.
Oh,
good job, God. Mike.
I shouldn't have said anything.
I mean, I never would have noticed.
Yeah, I know. That's a TV. That's not a monitor.
But nobody keeps a Whack It Station in the kitchen.
It's not.
Other than Mike. Well, it's right next to the sausages.
Oh, my God. No, it's not. They're kept in the freezer downstairs, Rich. Damn it.
By his other Whack It
Station.
By the
other, right. You have to have one on each floor of the house.
Get your priorities
straight. Well, I don't want to taint the podcast, so I'll talk about the other products some other time.
Okay.
Wow.
I've got multiple products lined up.
You got the Wacket station, you got the cum towel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's basically all you need.
That's all we need. You're good. You're
there's
good for
a few
your
other mouth. Things, yeah.
Oh, there's a few other things.
Yeah, there's like three other things that I came up with.
Oh my God. There's a whole product line.
Yeah, and I'm going to sell it on Shark Tank, and I'm going to get an investor, and it's going to be huge.
Okay.
Oh my God, I can't wait to see that episode.
All right,
you're just wheeling this monitor. It's like, would anyone care to demonstrate?
Could you imagine me in front of them? They'd be like, "What are your sales?" I'd be like, "I don't know,
nothing."
Well,
but I have it on good authority that people will really dig this.
They're gonna love it.
My evaluation's like $3 million. Yeah. Valuation.
I'm asking for $5 million for 2% of the company. Your pitches just, have you ever wanted to whack it but needed more monitors to do it with? Well, here you go. Ta-da.
You can even keep it in your kitchen.
That's right. That's right.
Perfect.
Well, look, you're preparing dinner. You know, you don't want to step away. You just,
yeah. You got to take care of something right then and there.
It's multifunctional. It's multifunctional. Oh, my God.
Okay.
My all sides right. actually hurt from laughing so hard. You can't come
yeah,
back from that, Rich.
Yeah, and we're starting to run out of time already. So I'm just going to do this quick story so that we maintain our Florida quota, because this is a Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
It has to do with a Florida couple here. For the second time in 5 months, a Florida couple was arrested for having sex on a Florida sidewalk. This time in the vicinity of a children's parade, according to police.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Fort Myers cops arrested 47-year-old Bernadette Colatarsi and 58-year-old Philip Daly for lewd and lascivious behavior on Sunday afternoon.
Lascivious?
Yeah.
Lewd and, I like
yeah,
it. Mm-hmm.
You ever been here for one of those?
Yeah, lewd
stories?
And lascivious behaviors.
No. Yep.
That's one of my favorite crimes.
It's a great word.
Yeah.
Yeah, Florida, man. They know how to write those charges.
They really do. They've had a lot of practice.
As detailed in the police report, an off-duty cop first spotted the duo having sex on a sidewalk at 5 p.m. on Sunday.
It's so hot, though.
Yeah.
It's
got to
be super uncomfortable, too.
Yeah, no, that's
like, I don't know about you guys, but the sidewalks around Ambler, a lot of them are, like, broken up in places. So it's not even, like, a flat surface. It's just, like, jagged shards of slate.
You've taken notice of this.
What if
there's sidewalks in my town, Rich.
Yes, you're just in case.
Look, when the Wacket station doesn't do it, you got to take the show on the road.
This isn't a good sidewalk for sex. This isn't a good sidewalk for sex.
You mark it down on your sex on the sidewalk map.
Ah, perfect. Yes.
They could have just been banging, like, standing up, right?
And they fell over. Wait, maybe they were in the bushes.
Why did they fall over?
Well, it said
down?
On the sidewalk. Yeah. Said, when they say on the sidewalk, I imagine them
like on the sidewalk.
Like,
exactly. Yeah, they were on top of each other here.
Oh.
So did they roll out of the bushes or something? Or were they just like,
we
got a grass lawn or we got a hard sidewalk?
Right here. Sidewalk.
Right here.
At the time, children were participating in the Edison Festival of Light Junior Parade.
Not anymore.
That's such a cheery name for such an awful event.
It included floats, marching bands, clowns, and a fun run.
And people fucking on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
That was the centerpiece of the whole thing.
Look, mommy.
Look.
What's
they're doing
float?
A naked dance on the ground.
Yeah.
Look away, Billy. Play your trumpet. Play your trumpet,
close
Billy.
Close your eyes and play the music.
He's just sobbing into his tuba.
So, yes, they were lying right on the Main Street sidewalk while doing the business. They were intoxicated.
Oh,
well, duh.
Yep. According to police, report, they were thrusting their hips.
You wanted them to be stone cold sober. Just like, this is a rational, logical choice that they've made.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Daly told the cop that, quote, "We weren't having sex. We were only dry humping." Okay. But
yeah,
their pants were definitely down.
I don't think it matters at that point when you're naked in front of children. And
wait, but were they naked?
Yes, they were. They had their pants down.
So that's not dry humping,
it's
though.
Wet humping.
Right, yeah. He's just trying to say anything.
Humping.
He also said that, quote, "We're not in the wrong. We were just having sexy."
what the fuck? That's like that thing where it's like,
that's the best reaction.
Do you remember that video that was like, I just want bang, bang, bang.
What?
Bang, bang, bang. Yeah.
So I don't want to talk to you. I just want bang, bang, bang. Bang, bang.
I want sexy, sexy.
Yeah.
Just having go. Sexy, sexy.
Yeah. Sounds like, yeah.
That's a really strong case he made for himself.
Yeah, we were just having sexy, sexy.
That's true.
And what'd the cops say to that? You're just getting arrested, rested.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. The couple are locked up in the Lee County Jail. They are each facing a felony charge because children were in sight.
Yep, that'll so, do it.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is not a misdemeanor now. So yeah, they're gonna have some serious charges.
I'll never understand why they can't just be like, let's just go behind something.
Maybe
you know,
they were and they fell. We decided that.
And just kept going.
They
and
rolled out going. On.
They were in the bushes and they were just like so, you know, involved in their trysting.
Yes.
They just trysted right onto the sidewalk. Yeah.
Trysting.
Yeah.
Maybe they're Eagles fans and instead of Philly Philly, it was sexy sexy.
Sexy sexy.
And they're rolling to the side. And when
That's
they roll,
right. It's a bootleg.
Well, yeah, it's a bootleg. And I mean, when they bootleg to the side, it went on the sidewalk.
That's right.
They couldn't do anything about
right
it.
Right in front of the children's it's parade.
That's well, the kids, play. Maybe, the nature of the play.
Maybe it's, kids' parades turn them on.
That's really creepy.
It was like...
Like, I hear they're going to be playing instruments.
Man, did you see that tuba player?
That got really weird.
It's Billy.
Look at the way that Billy's working that trombone.
Okay, no, you're taking it to another level of weird now.
You started it.
Yeah, but you like... But now you're like, that's really weird. Oh, Billy. Like,
Oh, Billy.
Look. After 6 years of this podcast, there's no line. The line has been obliterated.
Okay.
I can't judge the line. That's why it's good to
right,
have people
right, but you
be
judged
like,
me and then continued taking it over the line.
That is true. That
like
is
a bootleg. True. He took the ball so, and dived over the end zone.
You're right. Clearly, I knew where the line was. And I just said, fuck it. Let's
yeah,
go.
There you go. And you scored the touchdown.
I scored
the
That's why you're good to love abducted in plain sight.
I can't wait to watch the show now. If it's so somehow good. Related to whatever is happening in this story.
Kind of.
Oh my gosh.
All right. And wow, we went over, but we got to end the non-fortune cookie odd news on that. an interesting bunch of stories there. And we got to go right into the final segment of the show. What have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast?
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I learned so much about lots of things. I learned, in this day and age, you can be attracted to anything. Inanimate objects like airplanes, children's parades, just anything. It's anything is fair game
yep.
in the 21st century. Ferris wheels. Nena said that she could see loving a Ferris wheel. Mm-hmm. Hashtag yeah. inanimate object love. Hashtag objectophilia.
There you go.
There you go.
Hashtag
send us,
sexy sexy.
Hashtag sexy sexy. Send us your favorite sexy inanimate objects. What gets you turned on? You're just working at the computer and you look over and you're like, oh, that's a tasty stove over there.
Yeah.
You know? Bam. Let us know. Hashtag inanimate object love. Hashtag objectophilia. I also learned that you can't half-ass making disgusting things. If you're going to go in, you got to go all in. Use the pubes, use the semen, use... I don't know if you noticed, but during when you were reading that story, Nena was mouthing, it's going to be poop. It wasn't
no,
poop.
But
you could use poop too, you know?
Yeah.
You know, be creative. Let the inner artist out. Don't half-ass it.
There you go.
I also learned that Harriet Tubman was the first African-American female president.
Yes, excellent.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Excellent
yeah.
history lesson.
Truly breaking boundaries in like 1850, you know, and just,
yeah.
we just totally forgot
in her
about
tub.
It.
Right.
In her tub.
In her tub.
The whole presidency in her tub.
Yes.
That's right. Oh, and also I forgot to mention that she was secretly a portly, middle-aged white man.
Right.
Yeah.
Who died in the tub, but was still all right.
Yes.
Still was president.
And was named Taft and not Harriet Tubman.
Yes.
Yep.
But, you know, very similar.
Right, right.
Almost
right.
basically distant relatives.
Basically
of course.
Same.
Yeah. So, also, don't go to the furnace party in Philly. Don't do it. You're
yeah.
probably going to get murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Best case scenario, nothing happens. Worst case scenario, you're going to die. So, you know.
But let us know either way if you're going to go.
Yeah, let us know. Hashtag furnace party.
Woo!
So lots of hashtags. That's what I learned. Did you guys learn anything? that they both want to say it. Go ahead.
I learned that Mike has a wacket station in his kitchen.
Yeah. There you go. Good job, Mike. Apparently, I learned that too. I didn't realize it could be used for that, but
just make sure you're looking in that direction and not towards the kitchen. All right. And there you go. That's what we went on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, my gosh. And there you go. Another interesting episode of the Crispy Roll Podcast in the books.
To say the least.
Thank you, Nana, for joining.
Thanks for having me.
It's always good to have you on as a recurring guest. And we look forward to having you on for the Dead Presidents podcast at some point. We're going to get to that.
And I can't wait to hear the rest of the amazing items in your product line of sexy. Yeah. I don't even know what you want to call
it. I'll probably have new ones by the time.
It's an evolving product line.
But it's not all about just whacking it. There's more to it.
It's probably something
everyday
about...
everyday life needs.
Right.
Perfect.
Most of it is probably just whacking it because that's a big part.
Well, we know what it's a big part of your kitchen.
like you said, four screens. But you just can't get enough.
There's a lot of screens over there.
Woo. You need something to view the 4K content on, you know?
And one screen won't do it.
He has an answer for everything. It's real.
So just like Mike, we have an answer for as many things as we can here on the podcast. And we hopefully provided you with enough answers. Or at least very interesting answers. So if you liked what you heard, if you liked our answers, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. Follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle. And on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle Podcast. And maybe you'll see some more answers. Whatever answers to questions you want to ask us.
How many questions are we answering?
We'll answer all of them.
Maybe you can find even more on the YouTube channel where you can find interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. That's where you find all of the answers to your burning questions.
All of the burning crotches.
Because you shaved too close to send in your pubes to that hairdress lady.
Yeah, be careful.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. But make sure you subscribe. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So search for download and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. Every Thursday you get a fresh new episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I think we're gonna have to wrap this one up. It's been a blast, Nana. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
There we go. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. All right. We'll end that. We'll end it and go check out Mike's Wacket.
Oh, my God.
Together.
Together.
Whoa. All right.
We'll see you guys next week.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, it is I, your good friend and former President Barack Obama. It's been a while. I'm joined by the leader of the ghost clergy, Cardinal Copia.
How you doing, United States of America?
Well, I'm well, but now you may be asking yourself,
why are we here?
Well, it's 2019 and nothing makes sense anymore. But anyway, in my retirement and during his infernal time away from the clergy, we've both been listening to a few podcasts.
Ones that will make the asses wobble.
Yes, those are good ones, but we also need ones that bring us hope and change. One in particular with sports, entertainment, and odd news.
You give them a listen and a clappity clap, yes?
Yes, a round of applause for our favorite podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2019!